This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prism, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We'll get to phone calls coming up. Is Kevin O'Connell set to join us tonight?
Sure is.
He is. Okay. The Vikings head coach. Vikings are 5-4, and they beat the Falcons. So they host the Saints this Sunday at the Broncos, host the Bears at the Raiders. All right. You got some wins in there. It's been a crazy season so far. Let me start with something that's totally away from your football resume. How aware were your friends that your dad was an FBI agent growing up? And did that prevent them from hanging out with you?
I believe they were aware, but I'd like to think I did not have a Bronco like Paulie. I think they were aware, but it didn't prevent them. He had a way of kind of disarming them, their fears of wiretaps and things like that. maybe I did think twice every now and then before I would have a gathering of friends when my parents were out of town, I can tell you that.
What did he do with the FBI?
He did all kinds of stuff, Dan. He did all kinds of stuff. I'm very proud of him.
You're keeping it vague?
But in true family fashion, I'm going to keep it vague.
Tell me how you kind of kept the confusion away from Josh Dobbs when you know you have to put him in and he doesn't even know the names of his teammates. So what is your job in that moment?
Yeah, it was, so we have some ways in our offense where it might seem crazy to folks to say, how is this guy that's been here 5 days using the no huddle and giving, giving cues to his teammates, going fast. But really on that last drive, that was probably the easiest it was all day because the coach to quarterback system really stays open almost the whole time if you're up until the snap, if you're above 15 seconds on the play clock. So that was probably the easiest all day. And that was probably when he was at his most comfortable, moment in the game, just because he had had reps, he had had some success. He'd kind of found a good balance with using his legs and working through some progressions. But we had it set up going in that if he went in the game, there were some plays that maybe he felt better than others from the complete menu that Jaren Hall went into the game with. There was only probably, I tend to go rogue sometimes, Dan, and start calling something that the guys maybe hadn't seen since training camp. There was only a couple of those where I had to explain to him what I was saying. I said, you know, hey, just say this out loud and here's what it means, type of thing. Once again, I think this story is about Josh Dobbs. I think it's about his ability to use why we wanted to bring him in here was the experience over starting, you know, nine games and playing in any offense. You know, the beauty of that is you've at least played against NFL defenses. He had played against San Fran. He had played against the Giants. He had played against some good defenses where the speed of the game wouldn't overwhelm him. So I tried to make the moments in between snaps, you know, just giving him clarity on the things that I would think of if I was in there. Okay, I remember what that play meant, but wait, which side is that on? Which side's that on? Hey, this is on your left. You're going to have, you know, a corner and a flat over there, you know, an in cut and your check down's out there in the flat, like stuff like that, where, you know, just give him a paint a picture quickly in 7 to 8 seconds and then let him just go play.
Well, plus he's a very bright guy. When you decide if you want to be an astronaut or an NFL quarterback, I think he chose wisely there. But so you're talking to him the whole time. In his headset. Yeah.
And I would just call, you know, I would call the play or give him a wristband number and then just watch him walk into the huddle, call the play. And the second I saw those guys say ready, break, I started talking again just as he walked to the line of scrimmage. And that's just a credit to another thing for Josh, how fast he got the guys in and out of the huddle. Not knowing some of their names might have helped, because then he could just say, you know, call the play ready, break, and he didn't have to, you know, I've seen some movie scenes where, you know, the quarterback's calling guys out by their names and, hey, I need you to run this route. You're on the button hook and you're doing this. It was not like that because he would have not known most of the guys in the huddle. But it was fun for me. It was the closest thing that I felt like being on the field, at least mentally with the quarterback, you know, since I got those really impactful snaps as a player that I did.
What's your most impactful snap that you remember when you played?
I remember the most impactful on me is I remember getting, you know, we had a very successful game when I was in New England against the Cardinals late in the year. It was about 20 degrees, and I remember getting put in the game when we were up late. Cardinals eventually went on to be in the Super Bowl that year, but I went in there late. It was about 20 degrees. I couldn't feel my hands, and I rolled out to pass. Threw about a 20-yard, you know, comeback on the sideline to Matthew Slater, one of my best friends, and went right through his frozen hands. And then Darnell Dockett hit me so hard that my face was completely covered in snot. And that was probably the most impactful, if I'm being honest. But I just remember what it was like to be, you know, come off the bench, come off in moments and have to walk in there. And things happen really, really fast. So, you know, just as much as I could put Josh at ease the other day and then rely on his experience. I think I gave him the coaching point probably 10 times at the end of a lot of just, you know, hey, do this, do that, do this. But it was always, don't forget about using your legs. Don't forget they got to defend you, mainly on those critical third downs or, you know, some of those plays that he made that really were game changing, game winning plays, like that 4th-and-7 scramble to kind of set up the touchdown pass towards the end.
Talking to Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings head coach, how much can you learn from Brady by just watching him? And can you simulate that, emulate that when you go out on the field?
Yeah, I think I've kind of seen it from a lot of guys over the years, you know, whether it was trying to emulate Brady or you even to me, you know, sometimes I'll watch Jordan Love and I'll see him take a rep and it looks like Aaron Rodgers or even Zach Wilson now, you know, even the limited time he was around Aaron, you can see that. And I think that's what, you know, good quarterbacks try to do when they're with someone of, you know, that nature, a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. They're like that for a reason. But it's not just how they play, Dan. It's what they do Monday through Saturday to prepare. It's what they do, you know, how they interact with their teammates, how they lead, how they, you know, my whole experience in New England, it really kind of shaped my whole football journey because I probably wasn't mentally at that place coming out of, you know, San Diego State where I could absorb that whole offense so much running through the quarterback, so much responsibility. But I certainly tried to learn it, and it kind of set a foundation for me throughout my football journey of an unbelievable starting point of, yeah, I might not have been, you know, the best possible version of myself as a player in those moments, and there's a thousand things I could have done better. But there's very few days that go by that I don't think about something and how to apply it as a coach now, either being around Coach Belichick, being around Tom, being around a lot of, you know, that roster in 2008 and 2009 in New England. I mean, you can name the Brewskis and the Vrabels, Rodney Harrison, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Vince Wilfork. I mean, there were guys that I just remember. They might not have known me very well, but I was obviously very observant of those guys, and an unbelievable opportunity, you know, for the journey that I would eventually go on now as a coach to look back on that and be able to apply a lot of things that I learned.
Would you give up your healthy Achilles to give to Kirk Cousins if it meant that he would be able to play this season?
I absolutely would. Okay. And I don't think the folks down at Lifetime Fitness would worry too much about losing me on the basketball court this offseason. They would find somebody else to step in. But I absolutely would do that, Dan.
When do you know that he's blown out his Achilles?
I kind of knew pretty quickly, just, you know, watching him, you know, react to, you know, how he kind of went down. And I was shocked that he was able to, he climbed up in the pocket, and it actually happened when his back foot hit. And the way he went down, I kind of knew. And then, you know, as he got to the sideline, I went over and just, you know, you pretty much knew how he described it. He thought he had been, you know, somebody had either hit him in the back of the leg, and clearly there wasn't anybody around him at the time. So I kind of knew. And, you know, that was a tough moment. Kirk Cousins was playing as well as anybody in our league. And it was kind of my vision for him. And he did unbelievable things last year. He played the position at a high level last year. But where he was at, and just knowing some of the things that we were asking him to do, and how he was really running our offense, our whole offense was running through him, and really has had to do that since Justin's been out. The way he was, you know, distributing the football around the field, I mean, getting us in and out of plays, really doing things that kind of was my master vision for him when I first came here, because I knew he was capable of it. And they would have been awesome to see him play 17 plus games in that, you know, in that environment, and that with that kind of comfort and quiet in mind that he was playing with. So that's really what I felt for the most for Kirk, just because of all the work that people don't always see. I think people got a glimpse through the Netflix show, but there's so much more to him than even that, which I thought was a really positive kind of look into what Kirk's all about.
When do you expect Justin Jefferson to be ready to go?
Yeah, he did a little individual in practice yesterday, and we'll kind of keep ramping him up. Look, Dan, we're going to make sure that he can go out there and feel like he's at 100% and be the Justin that we all know. You know, selfishly, you start thinking, well, maybe we can just put him in the red zone, or we can have a package for him there. But the right thing for him and our plans for Justin long-term here in Minnesota, we want to make sure he's good to go. We want to make sure he feels like he's been ramped up and ready to roll. And we'll use this, you know, kind of open window to do that, kind of where the bye week fell, kind of gave us a little bit of extra time that we can kind of open that thing up and get him back in walkthroughs. And he's been in meetings. He's been around his team the whole time. I mean, that's been the coolest part of a really tough situation for Justin, is just seeing how he's responded to this adversity and still been a great teammate. He's one of our captains, and you guys can see him on the sidelines. He's never not around that receiver group. He's never not picking those guys up whenever he feels like they need to. It's been really cool to see. I think he's, as I challenged him, let's use this adversity to grow and come out better on the other side, and he's done that. But there's no question, I can't wait to get him back out there.
Good luck against the Saints. Always great to visit with you again, Kevin. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you guys, man.
That's Kevin O'Connell, Vikings head coach. Vikings are 5-4, second place in the NFC North, coming off the win against the Falcons. They got Saints at the Broncos, host the Bears at the Raiders. Those are all winnable games. Then they're at the Bengals, host the Lions, host the Packers. So they got some winnable games in there. I mean, they could get to 9 wins, maybe. All goes well, All goes well.
All goes well.
Yeah, get Justin Jefferson back. That'll certainly help. Update the poll results if you can, Seton.
Yep, I can do that.
Okay.
We have, wait, sorry. Let me go to danpatrick.com where I believe the poll is.
I've heard of it.
Oh, okay.
Popular website.
Yeah.
Right. A Friday news dump from the Big Ten means good news for Michigan or bad news for Michigan? You want to guess?
I'm going to say 68% say bad news.
56% say bad news, Dan. Okay. Now, there's another side poll question that we're thinking about. Can a, quote, Friday news dump happen in season in college football? Somebody on Twitter pointed out it's tough to dump news on Friday when the entire college football world gets together the following morning.
Okay.
So this is more of a bomb dropping than a news dump because no matter what happens, it's big, and takes over tonight. Right?
Well, does it take over tonight or does it take over tomorrow?
But Friday nights is not exactly a massive sports night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly going to be a big deal tomorrow on College Game Day.
Yes. And Fox,
and then after that, though.
It goes away for
kind of goes away, doesn't it? Until Monday morning?
Yeah, because then you have the NFL.
Yeah.
And then
I think it's still kind of news dumpy.
Okay.
Lightly dumpy.
Yes. Yes, Paulie.
I keep thinking in my head, because I'm trying to go through every scenario, the timing of this with the Big Ten. I can't tell if it's slap on the wrist or the hammer. And
I don't know if it can be a hammer.
It could be. Man. Remember, if Jim Harbaugh suspended, let's say he's suspended for the rest of the season and postseason. Let's say hypothetically it's the hammer.
That's a hammer.
That is the true hammer. However, Michigan's still eligible to be in the bowl. That would be the monster hammer.
But it goes back to if he's guilty of cheating, then do you take away those wins? And, or is this going to be after a while, you know, after the season? That they go back and go, you know what? You're going to have to vacate X number of wins or a Big Ten title. I mean, okay, you were guilty of cheating. That impacted those games you were playing. Do you take away, do you make them forfeit games? Like I'm trying to figure all of this out. Yes, Todd.
I feel like if you're brave enough to drop the hammer, you should be brave enough to do it during like normal business hours so everybody can react properly. Don't puff out your chest at 6, 7 o'clock at night. That doesn't impress anybody.
Well, ESPN is saying it's early afternoon. Now, is it before they get through TSA?
What time zone is it?
Yeah, it's at 1 o'clock East Coast time.
God, you got to have a camera at the airport.
Oh, man. I don't know.
That's tough, man.
You know how they try to keep, you know when the plane is closing up and they try to keep people from getting on a plane?
Yeah.
Try to keep Jim Harbaugh from getting on that plane. It'd be like one of those scenes in a movie where someone's late for a plane. They're like, just let me on.
ESPN reporting Pete Thamel, Jim Harbaugh's attorney tells ESPN he fully expects Jim Harbaugh to fly with the team to Penn State. I'm confident he's going to be on that plane one way or another. What does that mean, one way or another? Like he has a seat, or he's going to be in the overhead bin, or he's going to be, you know, in luggage?
Yes. Well, and what does fully expect him to? Like, yeah, right now I fully expect him to until the news broke.
Yeah,
and then,
of course he does.
Of course we fully expect him to travel
if
there.
If he said, I don't know, I don't know.
That would have been news.
Yeah. Hey, he may get bumped. He may lose his seat. Yes, Todd.
Would they bring marshals onto the plane to pull him out of the seat? So, coach, you have to leave. You're not flying with the team.
Yeah.
It's a wild day.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests, and in tournaments, to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Hour two on this Meat Friday. More phone calls coming up. We got burgers today on the Traeger. Grilled double bacon cheeseburger with Texas barbecue sauce. Flat top mushroom and onion smashed burgers. Curly fries, onion rings, carrot cake. All of that. Coming off the Traeger. Who has it better than we do?
Nobody.
Oh, quite a football game last night. The Bears beat the Panthers 16-13. First game in which neither team scored an offensive touchdown since week one when the Saints beat the Titans 16-15. Congratulations.
Oh.
Woo! Start of the day. Start of the day. Start of the day. Start of the day. This is the stat of the day.
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. If that game wasn't a standalone game, I wouldn't have watched it. In fact, I didn't really watch it. I was watching Giannis. Giannis went for like 54 last night. I watched Caitlin Clark, Iowa, against Virginia Tech last night. And then I kind of sneak back in and just see what was going on with the Bears and the Panthers, and not much was happening. If that's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday, you're not even stopping to watch. I mean, you might be curious if there's any offense, how Bryce Young looks, and I it's too early to designate how good we think he's going to be or how much of a bust he's going to be, because we're trying to compare him to C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is just ahead of the game and maybe has better weapons, maybe a better team. I don't know if Bryce Young is going to, you know, it's a mystery. I didn't see it. When I watched in college, although the game against Texas, I thought, okay, that kid's got something there.
Yeah.
But I just didn't get, wow, that guy is going to take over a team. I think he's a complimentary type of quarterback with a really good team. And he might be like Brock Purdy. So you might have more with Brock Purdy because he's on a better team. And if I put Brock Purdy on Carolina and put Bryce Young on San Francisco, not that it works that way, but it does give you an idea of how your opinion can change. C.J. Stroud is good. I mean, he's been doing it, and it's not that easy, and he's making it look easy. These two are going to be compared the rest of their careers. But I'm not ready to say Bryce Young is a bust because people go, oh, this guy's not, he's not good. His team's not good. How many guys can be great without a great team around them? It's really hard to do. And that's why when we look at a quarterback, and I always bring up Patrick Mahomes, he's in an ideal situation. He took advantage of an ideal situation with coach, wide receivers, defense. And he's the best player in the NFL. But if he was on Carolina, we wouldn't be talking about Patrick Mahomes. You just wouldn't.
because he wouldn't be able to create these plays. So that's why when it comes to, I got my opinion on Bryce Young and he's going to be a bust. I don't know that. I mean, I don't know if C.J. Stroud's going to be a star. He's certainly acting like it. He's played like it. But this is a long process here. And maybe Carolina gets it right. Maybe. But they're not a good team. They're not going to be a good team for a while. They don't have their number one pick. That's going to the Bears. Might be the number one overall pick. DJ Moore, you traded him away. You watch that team. I mean, there's nothing around Bryce Young, in fairness to him. And Frank Reich, you know, former quarterback in the NFL, you would think that he would be able to create some things for him. Here is Frank Reich talking about Bryce Young.
He made a couple key fourth down conversions, you know, made some good plays in the clutch to kind of keep us in it and give us a chance at the end. I thought he did some good things today. I really did. You know, we have to be better. It's so easy to put it all on the quarterback, and it's just not the case. We all have to be better.
And we're expecting Bryce Young from Alabama. Well, Alabama had pros on that team. Carolina does not have all pros on that team. Certainly not the skill position. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. We don't know much about Michigan's situation other than they're flying out later today, probably in 3 hours from now, from Detroit to go to Penn State. And from what we're being told, Jim Harbaugh, according to his agent, telling ESPN that Jim plans on being on that flight. Also, Heather Dinich from the mothership said sources indicate a Big Ten response is coming early this afternoon. Michigan leaves at 1. Do you have a decision announced before the flight leaves? When they land, is the investigation over? Do you suspend him indefinitely? Do you not like, your guess is as good as mine right now. But it does feel like something is happening today, or at least this weekend. And, oh, by the way, they got the biggest game of their season so far. They're at Penn State, where they're 4.5-point favorites. Big noon kickoff. So Fox will be all over this with their pregame show and College Game Day as well. Yeah, Paul.
Doesn't it feel like, let's say hypothetically, the Big Ten suspends Jim Harbaugh for any length of time later today. Doesn't it feel like Michigan is poised and ready to take this to a court?
Sure.
To get an injunction tonight before we go to bed or something, and he's on the sidelines tomorrow. It feels like they're poised and ready.
Yeah, all you want to do is kick the can down the road. Get through this season. That's all. You got a chance to compete for a national championship. Absolutely. The fan base is behind you. You know, put all the legalese behind you to help you with this and kick it down the road as far as you can. Yes, Marv.
Now, if Michigan loses this weekend, does this take them out of the national championship picture because maybe the college football playoff doesn't want all this negative attention?
Oh, they want attention.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll take the attention. Yeah, I don't think they'd go, oh my gosh, people are going to tune in and say, oh, is that the guy who cheated? Yeah.
NCAA scandal, what?
Yeah.
Football fans are going to be upset by a possible college scandal. That's why we're college football fans.
Yeah. They're not out of the national title picture, because then if you beat Ohio State, you got one loss, you're still in the mix here. But, you know, it's not a sure thing to beat Penn State. I mean, I'm still waiting for Penn State to have a signature win with James Franklin, and here's your chance. But Michigan goes in there as 4.5-point favorites. We will have a little bit later on the most must-win game of the weekend. Ryan Leaf will stop by a little bit later on. Let's see, any other games? The USC-Oregon, I don't know why I'm holding out hope for USC. Maybe I just want to see like one last stand where you go, okay, they gave us a glimpse of what they should have been this year. Let's see, you got Ole Miss in Georgia. Okay, Utah-Washington. Washington might keep Utah in this game. But if you're Oregon, if you can put up 60, put up 60. Let everybody know that you're a great team and you got a Heisman candidate at quarterback here. Jason Kelce was on Thursday Night Football last night. He was in the booth with Al and Kirk. And we were wondering, this will probably be his last year playing for the Eagles. Hall of Famer? I don't know how many all pros. Feels like he's been the quintessential center for a decade now. He might be a Hall of Famer. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, he's 36 years old. He's been to, I got 7 Pro Bowls.
Okay.
And 4 All Pros. You're on the cusp.
Yeah.
4 will get you in.
Yeah. And he's popular.
Yeah.
Now, he's become even more popular because he was part of People Magazine, Sexiest Men Alive. And so you have him and his brother. You know, Jason is not as famous, obviously, as Travis, but is Jason kind of riding the coattails of Travis Kelce dating, Taylor Swift? Or is he just maximizing it? Because when Travis Kelce's hosting Saturday Night Live, Jason Kelce is in the audience sitting next to his parents. They're really good together with their podcast, but I don't know how much further Jason Kelce could take this and go, I'm going to continue to do this and create what? Or I'm going to be one of the marquee studio people, or am I going to be a game analyst there? I mean, he might have other goals other than that, but how much is this Jason Kelce? How much this is Travis Kelce, your Travis Kelce's brother? He's a good player. I thought the documentary they did was really well done. Their podcast is really good. They're good together, but now People Magazine that got that opportunity. I thought they were going to go with Travis Kelce. I thought they were going to. And maybe he said, look, I don't want to be in it. How about my brother? Maybe he's trying to share the wealth. Yeah, Pauline.
It does seem like last night when I saw Jason Kelce with Al Michaels and then with the other group on Amazon Prime, it felt like he was auditioning. He had energy. He had fun. He brought a lot of life to the broadcast, which has been critiqued a little bit. And it felt like maybe he and his agent are like, let's put this out there. Let's get a deal for us. Well, I am at this level of hotness. You know, like Ryan Fitzpatrick a few years, a quarterback. He had a thing. He had a shtick. He's got a look. And he maximized it. He's got a nice gig with the NFL now.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be, co-hosting Monday Night Football. That may be stratosphere. But, I think he's striking at the right time, Jason Kelce.
But how much of what's the ceiling on Jason Kelce? I don't know.
He's on that Amazon set next year. He's on the Fox set.
They don't have
year.
Any room on that Amazon set. They got like 19 people.
Yeah, and the Fox set, if you look at the Terry Bradshaw, all those guys, those guys are getting a little bit older. Maybe you get some new blood in there.
Right. Yeah, Seton.
He's a likable guy.
Yes.
I don't know how he would be as an analyst necessarily, but he's a likable fella. He might be a little on the soft-spoken. He's sort of the yin to his brother's yang, where his brother is like all flashing, like, yeah, look at me, I'm a little bigger and all this stuff. And he's just sort of like, yeah, I'm the brother.
Well, maybe he could do what Eli's done, because Eli, we didn't really know what kind of personality he had. We did with Peyton, but Eli has stepped up his game there. And maybe, Travis is going to play for a little bit longer. So it's not like they would do a Manning cast, something like that. But I don't know. I mean, good for him.
Kelce cast sounds nice, though.
Yeah, he's being recognized. Yeah. He's getting his moment, and he's been a very good player. Center, how many famous centers are there in the NFL?
He would be most famous, then, for being the bottom of the tush push.
Right? That's cool.
He's essentially the ground level of that, right? He's the first guy on the ground.
He's the tush that's pushed, correct? I think he trademarked that. Brotherly shove and tush push. I think Jason Kelce is trying to trademark that. Yes, Marv.
Jason Kelce and Jalen Hurts might do a commercial for Charmin or something like that.
Okay.
There you go. Workshop it.
Crabbersburg State, too.
When they put him in the Hall of Fame, they put his butt cheeks as the bust instead of the face. Just a thought.
I like that.
All right. I actually checked that. He's got 5 All Pros.
Okay.
5 will get you in.
He might be. Maybe he is a Hall of Famer. It's just when it comes to offensive linemen, it's always kind of tricky where you go, that guy Hall of Famer? Usually if it's somebody who didn't give up a lot of sacks, played a lot of like Joe Thomas, never played for, probably had the worst winning percentage of anybody in the Hall of Fame, but he was really, really good. Travis Kelce's a 5-time All-Pro. They're both going to the Hall of Fame, seems like. By the way, I'm being told... one of my sources here. Hey, Dan, looks like Michigan departs at 3 Eastern for Penn State, not 1 o'clock, from what I'm told.
We're going to get the tail number of the plane. We're on this.
I have some. Oh, gosh, I've been doing this a long time. Somebody, air traffic controller helping me. Got the tail number. I got it all here. Yeah, 3 o'clock Eastern. Apparently, wheels up at 3 Eastern. Yes, Marvin.
I'm assuming the local news station in Ann Arbor is going to be at the airport just to see. Have you seen it? Have you seen Harbaugh?
Yeah, I would. I'd be staking it out, but once again, I have no idea.
He fully expects to be on the plane.
Oh, he does. Yeah, it'd be news if his agent said, "I don't know if he's getting on that plane or not." Okay, that's news. He fully expects. Okay. Absolutely. Andrew in Washington back with us. Hi, Andrew. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Dan and Dennis. Thanks for taking my call and happy Meat Friday. I do have an MMGOTW and a stat of the day, but real quick, I had a comment on a short conversation you guys had yesterday about posterizing in the NBA and Sean Bradley always was on a poster because he tried to defend the shots. You know, we do QB pressures in the NFL without a sack, so why don't we do shots altered without a block in the NBA? I think that would give the defensive guys a little bit more cred, even though maybe they get on a poster. My MMWGOTW is Marvin Prince's 49ers. They got to show something. Jags have the longest winning streak in the NFL. They're outrushing their opponents. 49ers added some defense with Chase Young. They got to show us that they're still a Super Bowl contender. That's my MMGOTW. And I do have a stat of the day if I could have some music.
Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Here comes the stat of the day!
In all 9 Golden State Warriors games this season, Steph Curry has led them in scoring in each one. This is the longest streak to begin a season in NBA history for a player 35 years or older. That's your old guy stat of the day.
Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Here comes the stat of the day!
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. You know, you can do pressures or hurries in the NFL. You're in the vicinity. I don't know if you could do something where you're altering a shot because you don't know if somebody just misses a shot and how much that defender had to do with that. But I think hurries and pressures are far more important than sacks because if you're there 8 times but you only get 1 sack, you're still pressuring that quarterback 8 times as opposed to I had 1 sack. You could have 1 sack and no other hurries. Or you can have 8 hurries and no sacks. Give me the guy who had 8 hurries. Now I'm pressuring that quarterback. Yes, Marv.
Man, I lost my train of thought. Oh, Max Crosby?
Yeah.
He probably leads the league in hurries. That guy is everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what. He might not have the sack number, yeah, but wherever you see the quarterback, he's right there just on the cusp of getting him.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want that guy to always know, that quarterback knows that guy's going to be there. He's always there. If I don't get rid of this, maybe a little quicker, he's going to get me. I think that's far more important than sacks. I mean, that's how you get paid with sacks, but those hurries, pressures, those are the numbers I want to see. All right, let me take a break. Got more phone calls coming up. Make sure you sign up for Dan's Deals. This went over great last year. Also, at Mother's Day, get 50, 60, even more off. A lot of these great items that we have for the holidays. Take advantage of it. Sign up for the newsletter. You get first access to all the savings there. Go to danpatrick.com. Enter your email address in the box that slide out right corner, and you're good to go. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime,
with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
Brian Leaf, former...
I love your segues today, man.
I don't have the energy. I don't have the energy to be creative. It's just like, there's burgers out there on the Traeger. Man, Seton and I went out there, and I'm like, man, I don't even like onions, but these burgers look so damn good, these smash burgers. Ryan Leaf covers college football and NFL analyst for Westwood One. Also contributes to Good Morning Football, the former number two overall pick in the NFL draft in 1998, joining us on the program. If you were playing today, the edge rusher that would make you the most nervous would be who?
Max Crosby. Just plain and simple, the motor that guy has. He never comes off the field. He never stops in the running game, chasing guys down, getting after the quarterback. Always just like a little gnat, you know, poking and prodding and making things worse out on the football field. I love him. I have a little, you know, soft spot in my heart for him because of what he's been through and how he's come out of it. And it's just, I love watching that young man compete. And he's my favorite defensive player as an edge rusher out there right now.
Why don't we focus on hurries or pressures more than sacks? Because I think I could get 8 pressures. I could get 1 sack.
Yeah.
I want my guy in the backfield always reminding you better hurry up. You better make a decision. Not just the 1 sack. As a former quarterback, would you be more concerned about 8 pressures or a guy with 1 sack?
Well, the thing about it is that anytime you're working with your offensive linemen, sacks are a huge statistic in terms of what goes on their collective resume as a unit. It's like if you were to, you know, step out of bounds a half a yard behind the line of scrimmage, they would absolutely undress you in film on Monday because that cost us a sack, Leaf, you know, mentality. So sacks are an important number for players out there, but you're exactly right. I mean, if you can live in the backfield, statistics are such a huge part of winning these awards. Like, oh, he had, you know, 27 sacks or something like that, or that's the reason he was defensive player of the year. There are a lot of players that are presenting a lot of problems for offensive linemen and offensive schemers this year that aren't necessarily getting guys on the ground in the backfield, but are there every single play.
Why is scoring down in the NFL?
I think it's the CBA. I do. I think it is the limitation of practices, preseason games, all the things that go into it. I just think we've had a real slowdown. What I do think over the last 9 weeks of the season or so, I think we're going to see an uptick. Okay. I think we're going to start seeing some more points scored, more offensive performances, and some better quarterback play from the elite guys moving forward.
Yeah, but we've had over 60 quarterbacks attempt to pass, and we're 9 weeks in, Ryan.
That's the injury part of it. And also, I also think that has a big thing to do with the CBA that was changed in terms of these soft tissue injuries. I mean, guys are just getting banged up more and more because I don't think they're used to getting hit. My wife and I were watching the game last night, and we saw a guy's helmet. I think it was Tyson Bagent's. When he hit the ground, it just, how much it moved. The guys don't, they don't lock it up. Like, I looked at my wife, I said, that thing on me was like such locked up, like, you could shake my face mask like that, and my head wasn't moving inside it. These guys' helmets just pop off like nothing anymore. They don't wear pads anywhere. They got the pants up above their knees. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that guys are banged up, and now quarterbacks, the backups in particular, are going to have to step up and play.
I'm trying to figure out Bryce Young, and I'm curious what would be your line of demarcation of now is when I know who he's going to be. Because if I'm going to use the same reference points, analogies, then I have to do it with C.J. Stroud. So if I'm comfortable with C.J. Stroud's going to be a star, am I comfortable in saying Bryce Young is not going to be a star?
I don't think so. I mean, also, we're pretty much a prisoner of the moment when it comes to the NFL from week to week because, you know, just over 10 days ago, C.J. Stroud was being beaten by Bryce Young, right? And then what C.J. Stroud goes out and does last week in terms of breaking the record, 470 yards, 5 touchdown passes, and with that big comeback win, the juxtaposition is so drastic. And so everybody can mount and jump on top of Bryce Young, and then he doesn't have a great game last night. You know, he doesn't turn it over, but still not a great game after how he performed against the Colts. I want to see more. I lay this at the feet of Frank Reich a little bit. Josh McDaniels just got fired from his second job. Maybe Frank Reich is not a head coach. What he was able to do in Indianapolis just was never to meet expectations. Maybe that's the case. And that's not a bad thing. You know, great coordinators don't necessarily need to turn out to be great head coaches. And unfortunately, we see that happen from time to time. But I want to see a full year in this offense. The size thing for me was always an issue. The offense has to be catered to him much more differently. He has to have easy throws, ones he can identify, and they need to use motion. They're just not using the motion to allow things to space out and give him more of an opportunity. And so I think they're doing him a disservice there as well.
Talking to Ryan Leaf, college analyst, also NFL analyst with Westwood One and Good Morning Football. I'm going to give you over-unders the rest of the year for win totals. Panthers, okay. Over-under 3.5.
Under.
Cardinals over under 3.5.
Over.
Bears 5.5.
Justin Fields comes back, is healthy, looks like he did those last two games before the Minnesota debacle. I'm still going to go under 5.5.
Okay, are you still all in on Justin Fields if they end up with the number one or number two pick in the draft?
Well, that's what I want these last games to be. I am. I do think he is a... I think he's better than Caleb Williams. I think he's better than Drake May. You may argue the Michael Penix conversation, but I don't think cold weather for Michael is necessarily going to be the best thing for him. I don't know. There's a lot to go there, but I do think he is an incredibly athlete and a quarterback that is starting to develop.
Just so I understand, let's say you're the Bears GM and you have the number one pick in the draft.
I'm going to go get Marvin Harrison Jr. I know it's a wide receiver, but you add that with DJ Moore. I think that's a problem. Okay.
And you think that Justin Fields is better than Caleb Williams?
Yeah, and I'd use that fifth-year option to find that out. I do think the quarterback...
No, you have to know, Ryan. You can't find it out. You've got to extend him,
Williams. You have to find out over the last weeks of the season this year. You have to have your answer. Ryan Poles already made that decision last year. When he said, no, we're going to trade it away. We're going to go with Justin. I don't know how much more you found out. The games against Denver and Washington, if those are just outliers, then you probably do. But those, for me, are identifiers. That's what he can be. I just don't know if Matt Eberflus is going to be the head coach.
No, I don't think he's going to be.
and so that there you have it. And if you're gonna break up the band, if you're going to send another coaching staff and figure something else out, I would probably suggest and think that they would go with a new quarterback as well.
All right, over under Patriots 5.5.
Under.
Giants 3.5.
Under.
Broncos 6.5.
Oh, that's a lot. What they got? 8 games left? 9 games left?
I think.
I'm going to go under with that. Those are a lot. Those are teams that aren't going to be around for the playoffs, so they're not going to be the teams that, you know, have chances to win those games down the stretch.
All right. What do you think should, what do you think will happen to Jim Harbaugh in Michigan?
I don't know what I've been doing with this. I haven't really looked into it, like how much of it is real and how much of it is not. I haven't cared. And I don't know if that's a more of a slight on me than it is on my attention to college football right now.
Sign stealing doesn't bother you?
No. The way they did it, I think I've said this before, I think it's just they were more clever. They worked harder. They had a plan in place. I will say this. Jim Harbaugh, of course, was my backup quarterback in San Diego my second and third year. And I've never been around a guy that's more competitive than Jim Harbaugh. More competitive. He would want to win at every single thing. So it doesn't surprise me that if this is true, that there was this elaborate sign stealing scheme that existed, because that dude wants to win at everything.
Give me an example of what it was. He annoying to be around?
You know what? He wasn't, because I was rather annoying as a competitive guy my whole life. I had to win two at everything, and I had a bad attitude when I would lose, you know? And so him and I kind of got along. And what was funny was when we were competing my third year, when they had brought him in and I was hurt my whole second year, they let us fight it out to be the starter again, because no one expected me to be the starter again in year three. And we went and competed like crazy. And in that Atlanta game, the third preseason game, I started 9 for 9 with a touchdown pass. And I remember after that game, sitting in the locker next to him, he looked at me and he's like, "We went to war, we competed, you won." And then he just put his hand behind my back and started coaching me up and supporting me. He taught me how to be a professional. By the time I had blown it all in San Diego, when I got down to Tampa and Dallas, I was an actual teammate and a professional. I just wasn't as talented. I had hurt my wrist. I wasn't the guy to be a starter anymore. But I knew how to be a professional quarterback, and I owe that to Jim Harbaugh and the support and the competition he gave me to try to win that job in year three.
I'm going to guess your social lives would have been different in San Diego, you and Harbaugh.
Yeah, they were pretty different. But, you know, that second year, I fell into a relationship with what I thought was going to solve everything, was to date and to marry the most beautiful and popular former Charger cheerleader. Because everybody would love Ryan Leaf, right? They love her. You know, instead they looked at her like, what is wrong with that woman? She must be nuts to go and be with that guy. So that backfired on me too. So I was pretty much a home buddy by that time. You know, my rookie year was where I was like, you know, Playboy Mansion, you know, all over the place and stuff like that. By year two and three, when Harbaugh showed up, I was pretty settled down.
What happened at the Playboy Mansion?
A lot of great things.
Can you be vague with me?
Well, the parties where the women came painted, you know, when they went through the whole process of painting on the outfits.
Were we at the Playboy Mansion at the same time?
We may have been. I don't know.
I went there on a paint night, and I just remember the Dom triplets were there. So all I remember, and yeah, we might have been there.
I was there three separate times.
Oh, okay.
And you know, they're fond memories. That's all I can say about it. I mean, I was 22 years old. I somehow was given millions of dollars. I don't think I was very handsome, but the millions of dollars made me seem more handsome, I think, in a lot of senses. But anyway, there'll be memorable times for me to remember, especially with you here, Dan, on the show.
I remember Drew Carey was there, and Salami from The White Shadow.
I remember Pauly Shore. Pauly Shore was there.
I think he was always there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he may have lived there. Yeah. He may have lived in the cages with the peacocks and stuff outside the grotto. I was just really in awe. The kid from Montana, the redneck hick from Montana, was just kind of like, is this real? And I had two of my boys with me who came from Montana, too, like the original Entourage feel to it. And we were just, in awe. You know, we show up on the Sunset Strip and go to the Sky Bar and Dublin's. And it was just like, I should have known that, like, I wasn't long for the spotlight when I was just like, this is crazy fun, good stuff. Let's go.
Great to talk to you as always. Have a great weekend. My best to your wife. And we'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Good to see you. Sorry I couldn't be there in person. We'll see you next time.
Yep. Another Meet Friday. We'll wait for you. Ryan Leaf. College football NFL analyst for Westwood One, also NFL Network. He was on Good Morning Football. I couldn't imagine being 20 years of age, millions of dollars, starting quarterback. You get to get invited everywhere you want to go. I couldn't handle it, you know, in my 30s, let alone if I was in my 20s. And I was nobody when I'm showing up. At least to the women, I was nobody. The guys are like, hey, let's talk sports. The women are like, who are you? I go, I don't know, just talking hairdo.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.